Mash on behalf of the Without a Roof radio program, and you are indeed listening to 90.1 FM KZFR Chico, listener supported community radio for the Sacramento Valley, the foothills, and beyond. Also, be aware that opinions voiced on this program do not necessarily represent the views or opinions of KZFR, its staff, board of directors, underwriters, or volunteers.
Give me the wig. So, tomorrow I got nothing.
I firmly believe that everybody should be born poor. 1 week of their life. 1 week.
As you see, I'm in a wheelchair. I was hit by a train 10 years ago. And a year ago, I was hit by a truck.
There's a feeling in the pit of your stomach the first several nights that you're out there when you realize you actually are in a place where you got nowhere to go.
How do you like being at the shelter?
Kind of good. And I like it when we had our own beds and different. And when we get our new house, I'll be so happy when I have my own.
This may surprise a lot of people, but in the last school year, all of our schools here in Butte County, there's 14 different school districts, identified about 900 students, children and youth, who were in homeless situations during the course of the school year.
Welcome to the Without a Roof program, where we expose and remedy poverty, the worst form of violence. Guillermo Mash, welcoming you to the August 16th edition of the Without a Roof radio program here on KZFR 90.1 FM. And the continuing theme this month, homelessness or houselessness in our school systems. This particular week, we are focusing the entire breadth of our program on the foster care system. Throughout this interviews that we're going to present here in the next 30 minutes, I think you're going to have an insight that you may not have had coming in regarding how dire the situation is for youth in the foster care system. We're going to be hearing from Dr. Phil, who is an advocate, a CASA advocate, a little snippet from one of his shows. And I have a wonderful interview with Tony Zimmer from about, I think almost 4 years ago at the library on Mountain Circle Family Services, a foster care agency here in Chico. We're also going to be hearing from a couple of former foster youth as they describe their experience. But the bulk of the program really is around School Ties BCOE with Megan Malloy talking about the issue of accommodating and caring for and helping youth in the foster care system succeed, as well as Lisa Michaels, who is the supervisor of Butte and Glenn County for court-ordered special advocates. Thank you for joining KZFR, and welcome to the Without a Roof.
So we're going
to
talk a little bit about how the system's broke and what you do to fix it.
What I heard a lot in the foster care system was, we don't have the resources. And two, I heard a lot of people, I just don't have the training to be able to help you. And to me, that just was a little mind-blowing, because it's like, you don't have to be a licensed therapist in order to listen to someone, in order to sit with someone while they're experiencing emotions. You don't have to be a therapist to know that it's harmful to judge someone who's having a really hard time and to meet them with criticism instead of love and affection. My experience with the foster care and behavioral health system has not hardened me. It has not broken me. If anything, I learned what I don't want to be. I learned that I want to show love and affection and empathy. I want to give people the space to express themselves, even if it is slightly uncomfortable for me, even if I have quote-unquote better things to do. To me, there is no better thing to do than to sit with and validate another human's experience. And that's how I'll continue to live my life. I host a human expression open mic night. Every week I give people 3 hours of space to get up on a mic and express themselves, no matter what that looks or sounds like. And, you know, they're going to be met with appreciation and with acceptance.
Thank you.
am the California Program Director for Mountain Circle Family Services. We're a foster agency. We specialize in finding and certifying and supporting foster homes for children who come from backgrounds of abuse and neglect. While these kids are in foster care waiting to reunite with their families, we try to provide them a safe home with some good role models and that type of thing.
So Mountain Circle is not just Chico or Butte, it's in throughout California?
We are throughout Northern California. Right now we serve about 10 counties. Butte County is one of our southernmost counties. We work in Plumas, Sierra, Lassen, Shasta, Tehama, 10 counties, 11 counties total.
Awesome. Can you tell us a little bit about that LGBT housing project that you guys are working on?
That's the Host Home Project, and we are a partner in that with Host Home Project and Stonewall, and then some of the other folks that have been there are Torres Shelter, Planned Parenthood, and Catalyst Domestic Violence. We're all trying to put together a program that will help serve LGBT youth in downtown Chico who are homeless, who don't have access to homes through another area in the system. Mountain Circle's role in that as a partner in that group is that we would be the ones who would help to identify, certify, and support the host home families that would open their homes to the kids once they're found.
Wow, that's awesome. What's your biggest need right now? If you could just pull one thing out of a hat and have it solved, what would it be?
Our biggest need is just to have a good variety of foster families in different locations, made up of different backgrounds, cultures, you know, that type of thing, because we get kids of all different ages, from all different backgrounds, all different cultures, and we would really like to match them with a family that they'll be successful in. Because I don't know if you're aware, but in foster care, kids move all the time.
Yeah.
If we can do a better job at matching them with a family that they might be able to make it with, we do a better job of improving what their life looks like later.
Hi, Gamma Mash for the August 16th Without a Roof radio program, and I'm always pleased to have Megan Malloy, who is the program coordinator for School Ties here in the Office of Ed at Butte County, helping us with our program here on foster care and foster youth. Welcome to KZFR. Megan?
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me back.
Oh, my distinct pleasure. So, quick question. What's the scope on how many kids are in foster care, you know, a rough number in the Butte County school systems?
So, right around 500. Last school year, school-age students, it was about 448. It kind of goes up and down, but stays right around between 400 and 500. Gone up as high as 550. And then if we look at the whole foster youth population, it could go up to 700, including those like 0 to 5-year-olds.
Oh, before K through 12, if you look at preschool?
Yes.
Got it. It's just an amazing number.
It is. And it's a high rate for our population area, but it has gone down in recent years. But it's still, too high.
So what are some of the struggles youth face in a school setting, being from a foster care setting, home setting?
The number one thing I would say is mobility. I have talked to youth who have been in 11 different schools in 1 year. And so having to go through constant moves, it makes it hard to stay on track. It makes it hard to feel connected to school, to develop those relationships with peers, with adults, with teachers, and just to get the credits to stay on track to graduate. And that's because of moving foster placement, so it's not the student's fault that they have to keep changing schools and falling behind each time.
Yeah, because I've heard it mentioned many times for the youth that I've talked to and reach out to that, you know, they felt like they were homeless when they're in foster care, because it's almost in some regards a couch surfing situation, because you could be moved at any time in their eyes and their
experience. Yeah, and they do this thing in the system where they give a 7-day notice, and then it's like, okay, 7 days and you're out. So yeah, it happens a lot.
So literally from the foster care parent or guardian perspective, they can just say, hey, I don't want to do this anymore?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, and it's always a temporary situation, and the goal is to reunify the family. Right. And I think the child welfare system has gotten a lot better in the years that I've been doing this, so I am seeing an improvement. And we also have some great state-level policies to help foster youth in school, like AB 167/216, which passed a few years ago. Foster youth don't have to do all the electives to graduate high school if they move schools after their second year of high school and they're credit deficient. that requirement gets lowered for them to the California state minimum of 130 credits. And so then they're on track for graduation. It's been a great policy. I've seen it enacted in the last couple of years, and a lot of youth have graduated who might not have otherwise.
That's some things that you've seen that have changed the system for the better. I mean, if you had a silver bullet, what thing would you change? Is there one thing you would change?
I would love for everyone in our school system to be informed about what it's like to be in the foster care system and to understand some of the effects of trauma on the brain of children as they're developing and going through school. I think that would transform the culture of schools, and foster youth wouldn't struggle as much as they have in the past. And that really doesn't take a magic bullet. Actually, it's not even very expensive. It's just a culture change in schools that would happen with a whole bunch of training from the administration down to clerical staff, bus drivers, people working in the cafeteria, where everyone would have this sort of understanding and a trauma-informed approach to serving students.
Yeah, I got this one quote I'm going to slip in, and it fits into, you know, foster care. You could transpose it, but it's just a wonderful quote. It's, homelessness is the least interesting thing about our youth. Kevin Ryan, Covenant House International Chief Executive Officer. What would you add to that?
Oh, I like that. I haven't heard that before.
Oh, I loved it. I just saw the tweet today,
yeah.
Megan, and I actually responded to him, and he liked it. I said, spot on. I love this. Thank you.
Well, it's just important to realize that every homeless youth or foster youth that we're talking about is an individual and has a whole lifetime of experiences that have brought them to where they are. And yeah, understanding that and seeing them as individuals that they are.
Any closing comments as you get ready for the new school year next Monday?
No, just excited. I think we have a lot of amazing educators in our county that are doing great things for youth, and I'm excited. It's always an exciting time of year.
All right, Megan, thanks so much for slipping this into your busy day.
Alrighty. You're welcome. Bye.
The Without a Roof radio program is made possible by the generous contributions of KZFR supporters and by Turner Chiropractic, providing chiropractic care for adults and children. Turner Chiropractic treats injuries related to car accidents, headaches, neck and back pain, and other conditions. Turner Chiropractic has been proudly serving the Hmong community for over 12 years, and they're located at 1324 Mangrove Avenue in Chico. You can also reach them by phone at 342-2111.
You know, Robin and I are national spokespersons for an organization called Court-Appointed Special Advocates, CASA. And it is an organization where, you know, social workers have 10 times more files than they can manage. And court-appointed special advocates are people, just like everybody here in this audience, that go through some training, and then they are assigned one or two kids a year where they visit the homes. They go with them through court appearances. They do things where they put their arm around a child's shoulder, and they're there to really look and see what's going on. And it makes all the difference in the world. Unfortunately, there are 500,000 kids in foster care that don't have a CASA representative, and it can really cut through and stop this kind of thing from happening. So there are mechanisms in place to help. We just don't have enough. I mean, Robin, we need, what, another 500,000 volunteers, right?
Yes, they're so important, and they're so needed. And I was just sitting here thinking about the CASA volunteers, how important they are. And when you were both speaking, I thought of how important you are and what a statement you have been making today. What you said has made such a difference for all of the children out there. When they leave those homes where they are feeling trapped, where they're being beaten, where they're being held captive, maybe you have given them the courage to walk up to someone and tell them what they're going through and what is being done to them. If they don't have a CASA volunteer, they have you. They have the courage you have given them today to speak up and tell them what's being done to them. And I applaud you, and I thank you so much.
And let me say, most foster parents are very loving and caring parents that open their homes because they've opened their hearts. So I don't want to paint all foster parents with a black brush. And listen, look into CASA. If you go to drphil.com, there's going to be a link there. You can be a CASA volunteer. You don't have to have money. You don't have to have a lot of time. You can really make a difference for kids like these. You want to touch a life? This is a place to do it. And we are just such strong advocates for that.
All righty, General Mash for the August 16th Without a Roof radio program here on KZFR 90.1 FM. And I am pleased to have Lisa Michaels, court-ordered special advocate supervisor for Butte and Glenn counties at Northern Valley Catholic Social Services. Welcome to KZFR, Lisa Michaels.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
You know, the first time I heard of CASA was one of my first interviews for KZFR well over 2 years ago, and it was with Josh Ender, a mentor from School Ties, and as soon as I mentioned it, he just lit up. He said, CASA! He was just so excited.
We work well with them, yes. They provide great services to our kiddos.
So now we got everyone excited. You know, what is CASA exactly?
So CASA's main mission is to provide well-trained, quality volunteers that will serve as voices for abused and neglected children in the dependency system. CASA actually, through Northern Valley Catholic Social Service, is a regional program, and we serve four counties, which is Butte, Glen, Shasta, and Tehama.
So what do those court-appointed special advocates do?
So our main goal is to find out what's in the best interest of the child that we're serving. We serve children anywhere from 0 to 21, and we look at what's going on in the child's life. For those that, you know, are old enough, we develop a good relationship with them, finding out really what's going on in their lives and how they see their lives going. And then talking to all the other people in their lives, anywhere from teachers to therapists to doctors to their living arrangements, and we get a clearer picture so that we can present it to the judge through our court reports.
As I understand it, they're given, I'm not going to say guardianship because obviously they're not guardians, but they have a lot of special powers to literally just call up that youth and to be able to talk to them or to meet with them, or maybe you could drill down a little bit on that.
So we have a training process that's 40 hours. And after that, the CASA is actually sworn in as a court officer. Technically, yes, we have a lot of power. We can go and get information about this child in any aspect of their lives to report back to the judge what and how we see it. We really are able to get a different perspective than maybe other people in their lives, such as their attorneys can have anywhere from 300 to 400 cases. Social workers can have like 30 cases and only need to see the child maybe once or twice a month, where CASA really develops a relationship and sees them maybe once a week. We ask our volunteers to commit to at least 1 year so that they can be that consistent person in that child's life. And really they see them and do some investigative work. That sounds so formal, but they really do. They really look at all aspects of their life. So it's between 15 and 20 hours a month.
When I hear the term court, like probably most of our listeners, we think of a legal court. Maybe you could describe a little bit what type of court setting we're talking about, juvenile court or otherwise?
So when kids are detained, it is a court process. They lose custody of their children, and the court takes over custody of their children. So it is very legal. CASAs are well respected. We have a lot of integrity with the court. The judges really listen to what we have to say because we do come from a different perspective. Sometimes we're the only person that has been in that child's life for that 6 months or a year consistently. They may go through one or two social workers. They may change schools. They may change living situations, but the CASA is with them through all of that.
So it sounds a lot like you're a mediator from like family law league geese, right? Where you're kind of looking at all angles of it and reporting back to a judge saying this is what we recommend.
Right. More of an advocacy role.
Do folks that volunteer for CASA get paid in any way? They have stipends to help them travel around, or what's
No, involved? This is all volunteer. Our CASAs amaze me every day with what they do. The time they spent, the resources that go into it, and just the travel time sometimes is a lot to ask. It could be anywhere around the county, and some of our cases end up out of the county, so CASAs will follow them and maybe only see the child once a month, but still really be involved in all the other aspects of their lives.
And as I understand it from memory, from interviews I've done in the past, it's one-on-one, correct? It's not like a case manager. It's one CASA mentor or advisor per youth, correct?
Correct. And that's the difference, is that we have the opportunity to really develop a close relationship just with one child, not have 30 cases that might include five or six people on each case. So we really do have a unique opportunity to work with children.
Now, I think you covered this at some length, you know, what is an advocate for a child, but maybe for our listeners, and actually for our listeners just joining, we're talking with Lisa Michaels, court-ordered special advocate supervisor for Butte and Glenn counties at Northern Valley Catholic Social Services. Now, Lisa, I think you've done a nice job kind of talking about what an advocate does, but maybe if there's any particular cases that may come to mind, obviously without any personal information, about, you know, what kind of things you might recommend in a courtroom setting?
You know, we have the opportunity to be the ones that might remember a medical issue that needs to be addressed, when children may go through two or three social workers or be moved two or three times. Something might get lost in all of that transfer, and ACASA has the opportunity to be the one person to bring up different issues. CASA really believes that education is one of the ways to break the cycle. So our CASAs are really involved in the educational aspects of the child's life, ensuring that they get the services they need, ensuring that if they need an assessment to whether or not they need some special services during the school day, that it's provided. So we have a lot of opportunities to look at kids and get really what they might need.
Now, how does CASA get funded?
So CASA gets funded. We get a portion of our funding comes through the Judicial Council. Most of our funding is fundraised, and so we're out there a lot doing fundraisers. We have our superhero fundraiser, which is a run in the park coming up in September, which is a family-oriented event that is a lot of fun. We get dressed up as superheroes. We have a little hero dash. We have a 5K and a 10K. So that's coming up. We also have a couple other events throughout our whole region through the year. So just look for us. We do a lot of advertising, a lot of social media about what's going on.
What are some of the strengths, as you see it as the supervisor, some of the strengths of the program here in Butte and Glenn County?
You know, we have been very successful in getting information to the court so that they can make decisions. They may get more information than they would in other ways, especially in the school aspect. But I think that our strength is that our CASAs come from all walks of life. We have somebody that was a cattle rancher to a farmer to school teachers, school administrators, nurses, stay-at-home moms, attorneys. We have all walks of life that have volunteered their time to work with our kids. And that's the strength that we bring, is the fact that we work together, we talk, we support one another, and everybody brings something different to our table. And I think that's a real strength.
Any things that you would change if you had a magic wand or three wishes?
Well, yes. We have 60 volunteers right now. We would love to have as many volunteers as we can get. We provide trainings throughout the year, 6 trainings throughout our region. The training in Butte just started last night. We're always willing to take people to come into our training. Those are the kinds of things that we wish for, is that we could provide more services. In our region, we have over 2,000 kids in placement. That's a lot of kids, and we only have like 130 volunteers, CASAs. That's one of the things that we would really like to do, is get more CASAs so we can serve more kids.
Are you saying there's 2,000 kids in Butte County placed in foster care with an outstanding case in the judicial system?
In all of our 4 counties.
4 counties.
In Butte County, there's 600, give or take at any time. There's a lot of kids, yeah.
There sure is. I had Butte and Glenn counties. I mean, what other counties are we talking about?
Shasta and Tehama.
But you are the supervisor specifically for Butte and Glenn, and then they have someone else for Shasta and Tehama?
Right. This is my territory down here, and we do have other people in Tehama and Shasta.
So how do we learn more about CASA of Butte County? Maybe you should say, how do we learn more about CASA of North State California, since you're in 4 counties?
Right. So you can go to NVCSS.org and find out about CASA, or you can go to the national website and they can direct you also to us, and that would be, you can Google court-appointed special advocate.
I'm looking at your site right now, the nvcss.org/CASA. Help us reach every child, the majority of abused and neglected children. do not have a CASA volunteer by their side. You can help change that. Join the I Am for the Child movement. Lovely.
Yes, we are blessed with who we have, but we really need a lot more.
Lisa Michaels, thanks so much for all you do and for coming on today's show.
Thank you very much for having us.
All right, this next segment here on the Without a Roof Radio program is a reading of an essay from a friend of mine, Lee Stuber, who is reflecting on the 20th anniversary of his experience at what he calls a boys' boot camp in the Nevada desert. And here it goes. And if you're listening, Lee Stuber, thanks so much for sharing your story. 20 years ago, this year, I was sent to the Nevada desert to live in a boys' boot camp called Rites of Passage. I was 16. The nearest town was Schertz, Nevada, miles and miles away with no trees to be seen. Escape was possible if you wanted to walk for days. It was called the Remote Training Center for a reason. We lived in Quonset huts and marched to the chow hall 3 times a day. No talking, having to ask permission with hand gestures to spit, scratch, or adjust. We woke with the sun and ran 3 miles every day, exercised twice a day, and went to school, repeating this daily routine for 100 days. We had to earn our days and lost time if we were disrespectful or out of line. We were made to do push-ups if we spoke without permission or irritated the coaches, eventually having to do 25 perfect diamond push-ups by the end of our stay. If we didn't conform, we were sent to specials to exercise it out of us. If we refused to exercise, we were put in a box in the heat of the sun or freezing cold and made to sit legs out with palms down on the ground. If we refused again, we were restrained with varying degrees of violence, depending on the coach. The heat and cold seemed unbearable at times, but we survived, or at least most of us did. Dust storms brought sand to all places at all times. We had 3 minutes to crap and 3 to shower. When we earned enough days, we were sent to another school in the town of Yerington, Nevada, called the Athletic Training Center, where we played high school sports and had more time and freedom. I never did well there and didn't get along with the other kids of the system. Most of us were former foster youth and delinquents who were just a step away from the California Youth Authority. I was sent back to the Big D, as we called it, 4 times, 400 days in the desert. At the time, I thought it was hell, looking up to the skies, seeking something to save me. All I saw were airliners flying to unknown places, wishing with all my might that I was on one going anywhere but here. But as I look back, I feel a longing and bittersweet love for that time. I am thankful and feel blessed for the experience. Being tested daily made me stronger, building the strength and courage I would need later in life to survive even more trying times. The beauty and wonder of nature surrounded me everywhere. In the spring, you've never seen such beautiful fields of flowers. The moon so big, it seemed all I needed to do was reach out and touch it. The sky so clear with stars that twinkled and danced. Even the scorpions possessed a magnificent, iridescent, deadly beauty like rainbow obsidian. Pilot's Peak called out to me daily as I longed to climb its perfect curve to the top and to continue on forever. I feel a longing for the desert again, to replace those painful experiences with positivity and joy. On my way to Denver, we drove by the road to the remote training center, which isn't there anymore. Yet all those memories came back to me, flooding my thoughts and emotions. I didn't realize how much I held on to that experience until the moment I saw Pilot's Peak and felt the need to climb it just to see what's on the other side. I think it's time for that climb. All right, that concludes Without a Roof Radio program. Head on over to KZFR.org and look for the tip jar to provide a little bit of financial support for KZFR and the Without a Roof Radio program. Guillermo Mash here, host of the Without a Roof Radio program, which kicks off a trifecta of KZFR Wednesday public affairs programming, airing from 5 to 5:30.
Each week we explore poverty, the worst form of violence, focusing on human beings without a roof. Thanks for listening, and if you have a roof, be grateful. Non-Human Radio, hosted by Jeannie Trezino, talks all things animal rights, bringing you the latest news and interviews with local activists.
Plus book, film, and restaurant reviews and deep discussions of the benefits of veganism.
For humans and non-humans alike, Wednesdays from 5:30 till 6 p.m. The Real Issue, hosted by Sue Hildebrand, digs into topics ranging from elections to environmental protection.
From social justice to economic justice, from the local to the global.
We cover the political part of everything. Wednesdays from 6 to 7 p.m.
Thanks for listening to...